Blog Talk Radio.
Praise the Lord, praise the Lord. This is Deacon Thomas Farr, and this is Issues Christian Men's Talk. I'd like to welcome you to the broadcast tonight. It is Thursday, the 22nd of February, 2018, and we thank God for you. We pray that all is well in your life. Amen, and all is going well with your family. We're going to take a quick musical interlude, and then we're going to come back. We're going to open up with prayer and our scripture and jump right into our conversation tonight. We're going to be talking about the character traits of a godly man. Amen. So we'll be right back in 30 seconds. God bless. Enjoy.
Come on, children, let's sing the goodness of the Lord. Come on, children, let's shout all about God's rich reward. God will put your parity, keeps us in the narrow way. Come on, children, let's sing about the goodness of the Lord. Yeah, come on, children, let's sing about the goodness of the Lord. Come on, children, let's shout all about God's rich reward.
Praise the Lord, praise the Lord. Deacon Thomas Farr, and this is Issues Christian Men Talk. Thank you for joining us tonight. We had a short opening from Mahalia Jackson, old school gospel back in the day, but when you could tell between gospel and R&B, just wanted to give a little taste of that and encourage us and set the atmosphere. Amen? Amen. Well, we're going to open up with scripture and prayer. You're going to get right into the conversation this evening. If you called in at 646-668-2636, you can press 1 on your keypad. And we can bring you into a conversation, share your insights, wisdom, or ask a question. Also, if you are at www.blogtalkradio.com/Deacon Thomas Farr, you can call in on that same number and join the conversation, give your insights, and participate. And if you go on the website, you'll look on the right-hand side. You can click on the follow, and you will get alerts through email and a message when we broadcast new programs or upload new programs. And also you can reach out to us at Facebook at Issues Christian Men's Talk on our Facebook page. Also at Twitter at Issues Men's Talk on Twitter. And we encourage you to reach out to us, ask questions. You know, also we post upcoming men's events as they're given across our desk, across our Facebook page. We share them, share some insights and devotionals for men. Because here at Issues Christian Men's Talk, we know that we have more in common than we are different. And we encourage the brothers in faith to gather together in fellowship and deal with some of the real issues and problems that we deal with as Christian men. Not that our salvation is not secure, but yet, in this walk, in this life, as we seek to please God, leading our homes and leading in our families and leading community, we need the fellowship of one another to come together. That we see the Word of God is more than just cliches and scriptures that we quote, that we look to apply the Word of God to our life, that we can be better men, and by being better men of God, we can be better husbands, fathers, and sons. So we encourage you to take part. We have some events coming up that we're going to share, but we're going to go right to scripture and prayer to start our show today and give thanks to our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Well, today I'm going to be reading from Luke chapter number 6, and I'm going to start at verse number 35. Luke chapter 6, verse number 35, and the Word of God reads, "But love your neighbor, love your enemies, and do good, and lend, hoping for nothing again. And your reward shall be great, and you shall be the children of the highest, for he is kind unto the unthankful and to the evil. But therefore, merciful as your Father also is merciful." "Be ye merciful, as your Father is also merciful." Verse number 37, "Judge not, and ye shall not be judged. Condemn not, and ye shall not be condemned. Forgive, and ye shall be forgiven." Verse 38, "Give, and it shall be given unto you. Good measure, pressed down, and shaken together, and running over, shall men give into your bosom. For with the same measure that you meet, shall it be measured unto you again." Father God, we say thank you today, O God. We thank you for your Son, Jesus Christ, God. We thank you for the benefit of our salvation, God. We thank you, God, that you sent your Son to reconcile us back unto you, God. We thank you for the forgiveness of sins, God. We thank you for your grace and mercy and favor that you show us all in our lives, God. Father, today I pray for the men who are listening on the line, those who are listening by the web, God, those who are listening on Twitter, God. We just say thank you for their lives today. We thank you for what's going on in their lives. Father, we encourage them, God, to press on, to keep pressing, to seek you, seek your wisdom, your guidance, and be submissive unto the Holy Spirit, God, that you will bring them through any temptation and trial. Father, we pray tonight for the unbelieving man, God, who may be listening, who may have come across this broadcast, God. We pray something, oh God, will stir up in him spirit that will open his eyes and his heart to receive you as Lord and Savior. That we come to the understanding, oh God. We pray for the leaders, our pastors, elders, and deacons. We pray for those in the government, the sheriff, the police, the president, the senators, the governors, those who are leading in this culture, in the government, God. We're praying for your wisdom and grace over them all, God. Because we know that you are sovereign and in control, God, that nothing happens is a surprise to you. So, God, continue to watch over us, keep us, and those, oh God, that are in your covenant, oh God. In Jesus' name, amen, amen, and amen. Amen. Well, we have a couple of announcements, some upcoming events. It's going around here locally in the Baltimore, Washington, D.C. area. The Man to Man Men's Fellowship at the Church of the Redeemer of the Lord, located at 4321 Old York Road in Baltimore, Maryland. On Friday, March the 2nd at 7 p.m., the men are coming together from man to man. And the teaching for this week is Dare to be Uncommon. Again, that's on March the 2nd, 2018 at 7 p.m. at the Church of the Redeemer of the Lord. If you go to our Facebook page, you'll see the address and contact information there. And Elder Rondell Hall, the men's ministry president there, and the senior pastor is Pastor Bishop Jerome Stokes Sr. So we encourage you to come out for a time of fellowship, a time of gathering. I'm personally putting it on my calendar, so I'll be there, and we can fellowship and enjoy one another and be encouraged and get to meet some new brothers, build some new relationships. Amen. My second announcement tonight is from the Maryland Center for Veterans Education and Training. There's a local organization here in Baltimore, Maryland, serve the veterans, homeless veterans, and the brothers who have served from all generations, you know, and we have a lot of vets that are coming back from the Gulf Wars and before the Gulf Wars, and they're dealing with a lot of issues, some coming back. So here locally in Maryland, the Maryland Center for Veteran Education and Training, on June the 2nd and June the 3rd, from 8 a.m. to 4 p.m., they're having a stand-down event for the homeless veterans. They're going to be providing services and benefits, information about housing, employment, job training, Social Security benefits that they're entitled to as vets, medical benefits, veterans benefits. You know, sometimes the VA, for those who have served and know dealing with the VA, it can be a challenge. You can be amazed sometimes, but they offer the social services and some help and encouragement to get you through and know how to get through the paperwork and get through the challenges to get some of the benefits that we're entitled as vets. Basic things like driver's license, maybe you need some legal help. For those brothers that are still out on the street, may not have a home, but we're going to have some personal hygiene items, some giveaways. We're going to feed the brothers that day. So we encourage you to come out, participate. Also, you can reach out to them by reaching out to Brother Mike, the director there. His phone number is 410-576-9626. You can reach out to him, and if you want to participate, you want to donate, you want to volunteer, and help out those. Some of us have saved, some of us who have served and came back, some of us have been able to successful with others who have done the same time you've done, may not have been so successful. So again, that's the Maryland Center for Veterans Education and Training. They're doing a stand-down event to serve the homeless vets here in Baltimore. The location is going to be 101 North Gay Street in Baltimore, Maryland, at the Baltimore War Memorial Building. That's the Baltimore War Memorial Building, 101 North Gay Street in Baltimore, Maryland, June 2nd and June 3rd. So we encourage you to reach out and to participate there, spread the word, and let the people know. Amen? Amen. Amen. Well, tonight, we're going to talk a little bit about some of the character traits of a godly man, some of the things that who we are, how we shape and mold our lives, how we apply the word to our lives. You know, because some of us, you know, even if we're saved, unsaved, if you were in the church your whole life, you got saved at a later age, no matter where you are in your spiritual walk, we always have to be able to check ourselves. Scripture talks about checking ourselves to be ensure that we're in the faith and be that we're living according to God's will and his way. And also some of the things we have to start to change our character traits. We pick up, we bring some character traits. Some of us, we've been saved a long time. We've been saved and we're a full-grown man, and then we come to Christ. And some of the habits and some of the things that we do, we think were not that bad or it was all okay. But that's not who God calls us to be and how God calls us to be and see and carry ourselves. So some of the character traits we're going to pick up and start to change us. It's not about comparing ourselves to ourselves, comparing ourselves to other Christians, comparing ourselves to our pastor, our overseer, our deacon, the other brother in our church, and that I'm doing better than him, I must be doing all right. Because that's not what we compare ourselves to. We compare ourselves to the Word of God. And we let the Word of God start to prune us and grow us and mature us in the things of God and understanding of God. And I encourage you today, because we here at Issues Christian Men Talk, we have a passion for men's ministry, but also we do understand and have a passion for being part of a local body, being part of in a pastor, under a spiritual leader, someone who's going to speak into our life, someone who's going to give us the guidance and direction, and someone we can go to when we're struggling. That's going to help us, uplift us, and encourage us, and help us to press through. May not bring us out of our situation, but encourage us through our situation. Because that's what we're called to do as men. And I know a lot of ministries don't take time to minister to their men, so we always encourage that here at Men's Ministry. That's why we share when other ministries are having gatherings, because you never know where a man might be in need and come to a place where other godly men are and be encouraged to give up, to press on and not give up. Because every day, you may not hear about it, but there are men that are giving up on their families, giving up on their lives, giving up on their responsibilities because it just got too much for them in church and outside the church. So we continue to pray for them, and we encourage them with opportunities to connect with someone else that can keep them going. Amen? Well, tonight we're going to talk about a couple of things. We're going to talk about three. We're going to talk about some character traits. And as we go through these character traits, I encourage every man, look at yourself. Look, when we talk about your character traits, examine your own heart. Because it all starts on the inside. It starts with our submission to the Holy Spirit. With the character trait we talk about, is this character trait working in you? Are you living it out today? Are you applying it? Because application is the most powerful thing about the Word of God. It's fine to memorize it. You can memorize all the books of the Bible. You can memorize your favorite scriptures, make them a cliche, or whatever. But if you're not applying it to your life, you're not doing what God has called you to do as an individual, as a man. Because remember, the thing we have to also remember is that we're going to stand before God individually. He's going to look at our hearts, look at our lives, and he's going to say, either well done, my good and faithful servant, or depart from me, I never knew you. Amen? So, is the character trait working in you? How do I exhibit this character trait in your daily life? Because every situation of life, there's different things pop up, but are these character traits where people can say, I know that brother, he's a faithful brother. I know that brother, he's a forgiving brother. I know that brother, he's a humble brother. Will they say that about you, or will they not say that about you? And how we live and how we carry ourselves in all the circumstances. And again, I don't want to be able to say and stand here and preach that I have it all put together. I don't know many brothers who have ups and downs and good and bad days, but overall, are we pressing to do better and be better? Do we recognize our shortcomings and failures, and are we willing to get up and try again and press on and do better? How can I use the character to develop a better willingness to respond to others, especially the ones I love? Are these character traits alive in you and in your home? What do I hear when I ask your wife and children who you are? Or when God speaks to your wife and children, are you living out to be who you're supposed to be in a relationship with them? It's easy to have one life facade for those strangers in your life, but what does your family say, those closest to you say about you? What in my life is blocking this character trait from working and being exhibited in you? What's going on with you? Why you can't live this way? Why you can't be obedient to God's word? Because all these character traits that we're going to share tonight, there's going to be a scripture, and are we living obedient to the word? That's what I was saying earlier about, you know, are we applying the word that we know? Are we applying the word that you know? You may memorize it, but are you living it out? And are you striving to be more like Christ and what he's shaped you and molded you to be and created you for? How can I make this character function better, stronger, and faster, even in times of uncertainty and stress? Stress is one of those things. Your true character is going to come out under stress and uncertainty. When it don't go your way, when the plans don't go your way, or you have to take a quick left or a quick right, what character trait is going to come out of you? Because under pressure, I was in the pastor was teaching recently at a Bible study. What comes out when you are squozing? What's going to come out of you? What kind of juice is going to flow? So whatever you put in is what's going to come out. If it's the word of God, the word of God, the spirit of God is going to come out. You're going to see things different in how you respond to stress and uncertainty. And the last one for us to think through as men of God today, that we can look in the mirror and say to ourselves, think through the steps that would take to put this character trait in action in specific instances and improve it. Just consider. Consider what Scripture says. Consider Scripture what you're supposed to be, because Christ's likeness is revealed in Scripture. God is going to speak to you through His Word and through the power of His Holy Spirit and through your brother around you, through the men you put around you. God's going to use them to speak into your life. Amen. So we encourage you to always, this is why we encourage so strongly about godly men coming together to encourage one another and not compare ourselves to each other, but look to serve one another, to humble, to befriend one another, to lift each other up. Because the word of God says and teaches that the greatest thing that a man can do in this life is called to edify the body and glorify God. If those are the two major focuses of your life, I believe you'll be just fine. God will honor you. God will help you. And God will press you and give you opportunities. Amen? Amen. Well, tonight, the first one we're going to talk about is forgiving. Because forgiveness and forgiving, is that a character trait in you? Are you forgiving? Are you still holding grudges, attitudes against people, against folk, against your children, against your wife, against your coworkers? Are you forgiving? Really, and first of all, for men of God, for Christian men, and we claim to be Christian men, do we realize how much we've been forgiven by Christ? Do we understand the sin that was in us, the sins that we committed, and then our sinful nature because of Adam? Do we understand the price that was paid, what Christ did, what God did, to give His only begotten Son? That's the basics of the gospel. Even when we do evangelism, are we understanding what Christ has done, and can we share that with Him? And through that truly understanding of what we've been forgiven of, we understand that we should be able to forgive those for the insignificant things that are done to us. Because if we really consider what people have done to us that upset us, you know, pissed us off, got us discouraged, got us upset, was it really that significant? Was it really? Or were your feelings hurt? Were your emotions hurt? Were you more frustrated at yourself, frustrated at them, the circumstance, your anger? You know, because sometimes, even as men, if we let our emotions get in the way of some things, we can make the wrong decision and we respond wrongly. And that's how we get to hold grudges. You know, because we talked to a lot of men, you know, over the years in men's ministry in those times of gathering, the anger we had for our fathers and parents. You know, one of the things we learned that, you know, for some of us, our parents did the best they could. And then for some of us, our parents had their own issues that they dealt with the best they could. And some of it, you know, we filtered down on us. But that doesn't give us an excuse for failure. That doesn't give us an excuse to repeat the same sins and failures of our father or our mother. You know, I've known men who've come from backgrounds. They weren't necessarily rich, poor, welfare, whatever. They had alcoholic parents, drug addicted parents, all of that. But none of that can hinder us from who we are to be. And then none of that should hinder us in forgiveness. Because even though, how many people have we done wrong and we seek the forgiveness of them? Just imagine all the things that we've done in our life if those people held grudges against us or sought revenge for us. But as men of God, again, we understand what Christ has done, and that's how we are led to live our lives and understand how forgiveness is, the wrongs that have been done to us, rightly or wrongly, because some of the stuff that was done to us we deserve because we just happened to get away with it that time, and we have to pay the consequences. So even the consequences of this life, God gives us direction and guidance on to forgive and press on. Because when we talked about, as I opened up with the scripture, do we love our enemies? Because some of our enemies, we made them, but now they feel a certain way about us, and because we can't forgive them, maybe that's the reason they can't forgive us. Real quick, I want to go to scripture in Luke 23. Luke 23 is just a foundation to bounce off, because I know I got brothers out there who like the scripture and want to bounce things off scripture. We go to Luke 23, verse number 34, and this is Jesus talking at the cross. Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. And I think that goes back to what I was saying about our parents. No matter what struggles you might have had in your home life as a child, or even as an adult, you didn't get along with, as an adult, you couldn't get along with your parents because you were smarter than them or they did whatever. Forgive them because they know not what they do. That goes back to, you know, we do the best they can with what they got. You know, we say a lot in church about my grandmother prayed for me and my mama prayed for me. Some of us, our grandmother and our mama did not pray for us. Of God, it was a miracle working power that we are saved today to know Christ. And we prayed for our mother and grandmother and they got saved. Amen. So, you know, all of us didn't come from great praying parents and praying grandparents, and my father wasn't a deacon and my grandfather wasn't a pastor. But yet, we have to be able to be tender-hearted and be able to, at this point, as men, understand what it means to forgive. I'm going to go to one more scripture when we talk about forgiving. And it involves, too, letting go of resentment and healing relationships and healing and reconciling relationships, just what Christ has done for us. Again, if we look at what the Word of God says about Christ and what God has done and why he sent Christ and who we are today, these are the things that we have to carry over into our lives. Again, application of the Word. We can memorize the Scripture, but now we're applying it. Are we letting bitterness, are we letting some of the things that we've been through still control us and get us to a place where we're walking around, we got a nice suit, tie, shirt, tie, and a handkerchief and shoes match and everything good, we look good on Sunday, we're serving, we're doing this, we're doing that, we're feeding the homeless and we're doing all these things, but yet we have a heart of unforgiveness with our parents. Our children were prodigals, didn't go the right way. We mad at folk who treated us wrong. We mad at our baby's mama. And now we got a new wife, so we upset there. I mean, there's a lot of things that we deal with as men, but where is our heart? You know, we work with our heart forgiveness. Real quick, I want to bounce the scripture off the brothers there when we're talking about forgiveness. I'm going to go to Ephesians chapter number 4, and I'm going to start at verse number 32. Nope, excuse me, 31, 31, 31 and 32. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. So that's there. That's who we are. That's who we were. For some of us, that's what we still carry around. But yet, next verse 32 says, and be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God, for Christ's sake, hath forgiven you. When God sees you, he sees his son and the price he paid, so you don't have to bear the wrath of your disobedience and sin. That's a simple gospel. It's as simple as what it is. Anybody, when you do evangelism, keep it simple. Why God sent Christ, and when Christ sees you, he doesn't see your sin. If by faith you believe in him, he sees the sacrifice that Christ has made. So forgiveness, is that a character trait in you? And how are you going to do different from today than you did yesterday? Amen. This is Issue Christian Men's Talk. I'm Deacon Thomas Fall. We're here live every Monday night at 8 p.m., every Thursday night at 8 p.m. And for 2018, we are Saturday mornings at 9 a.m. Saturday mornings at 9 a.m. You can call in at 646-668-2636. If you'd like to join the conversation, share insight, wisdom, ask a question, press 1 on your keypad, and we can bring you into the conversation. Amen. You also can reach us at www.blogtalkradio.com/Deacon Thomas Farr. You can listen online. You can go to the archive. We've been on the air here for about 3 years, so there's an archive of past shows, of interviews, of pastors, insights. We talked about a lot of things, from marriage to relationships to pornography. Some pastors have written some devotionals, and they came on and shared that. So you can always go there and listen to the archive of our past shows. And also this broadcast from tonight will be there. You can share it with your friends, neighbors, go back, look over it. Get your notepad and your Bible and go back and go over some of the scriptures that I shared tonight. But I just want to encourage you to be the man that God has called you to be. Don't focus on your circumstances. Pray for God to give you insight and vision through it, because God has got a plan for your life. And it's not over. It's not over, and don't give up. The next character trait I want to talk about tonight is humility. Now, humility is one of those things we all struggle with, and it raises it. It looks a lot different for a lot of different brothers. It looks a lot different for a lot of different characters, and we show humility different ways. Some of it is superficial, but some of it is a heart issue. So we talk about humility. We want to minimize arrogance, and it removes pride when we try to humble ourselves. humility is something we have to deal with. You know, it's about our, because it's our fallen nature, our tendency. Sometimes for some of us to think that we're better than others. Because I'm doing better. I got a house. I got a $300 house. I got two cars. And I'm working. And I've got a federal job. I got a good job. And I'm not in debt. And all these things. And you see yourself as better than someone. That's not really being humble. Because when you boast about it, when we quote-unquote give testimonies of the goodness of God and what God has done for us, are we really boasting about who we got and the things that we have? And really, in our hearts, we don't understand what God has done for us, where he's brought us from. Because we don't talk about when we didn't have nothing, when we was homeless, when we was driving a car that had four bad tires on it and rust spots. I'm just saying. It's humility, really. We don't have pride about what God has done, and we understand where it comes from. And even in that humility of being humble, are we looking to serve others with what God has blessed us with? Because do you really need two cars? I'll just stop right there. Because, again, are we serving? Are we really edifying the body? Are we worrying about making car payments? Or could those resources have been used in a better way? I'll just say it like this. In all our resources, when it comes to money and time, who is it really helping? Because being humble means we don't need the best. Because I've known pastors who have given a lot to ministries to keep people going. You know, because we deal with sometimes, you know, greed and men seeking to fill their bonds with things. But then I know other pastors and ministries and men of God who have served, who have sacrificed to make sure others have had. And that's a humble spirit God also honors and looks for. But are we individually in my house? Do we need to have everything, every new toy, or what are we doing to help someone else? First at our house, and then what are we doing in the communities? You know, I know in the body of Christ, we do a lot of stuff on the holidays, but we do understand there's families out there who have struggled to eat every day. We may want to support a family, adopt a family for the holidays, but what are we doing in the midsummer, in the spring? What are we doing this month? What are we going to do next month to help someone who's struggling, just as hungry as they was come Christmas and Thanksgiving? Or do you even reach out to them and know who they are? Or do we give to organizations, or do we give to people? I don't have a problem with it, but again, examine yourself. You know, you might give to an organization, but it's not that hard to find a family around you who's in need, and what are you willing to do for them and not expect nothing in return? Are we willing to give to our brothers and sisters in Christ in the church? Do we understand who in the church may need help with a bill, a water bill, or money, or their rent? Or do they have to go through the church? And then for my leaders in the church, how easier for people to come to you and get, and you, we're humble to where we're helping folk, where we don't have to jump through a whole lot of hoops. I'm just saying, that's where I'm at. That's where I just wanted to share. I just wanted to stir something in the spirit. Because again, these are character traits, who we are, who are the people around us, and how we carry ourselves. Are we venting to others that others are more important? Excuse me. Are we admitting that others are more important than God and responsible for our achievements? Do we know that everything God has given us, everything we have, is because God has given it to us, our achievements? All the way from my master's degree to our GED to our high school diploma, it's by the grace of God. And then on the other side of humbleness is, are we teachable at all times? Some of us are great teachers. Some of us have understanding. We can be, but are we humble enough that when it comes that we are teachable? Although we're teachable from the people around us, can we learn things from someone who doesn't have the quote unquote education that we have, or that are spiritually mature as we think we are, that we can receive as a church, as a body? But do we always have to be the great teacher and orator? But do we see that we can listen and receive from others? That's why I like Bible study. That's why even in evangelism, do we invite people to Bible study? It is an opportunity that they can speak and get understanding and humble ourselves to listen. That someone is saying something that may help us. Because then when we're part of a body, we're part of a network of people, we can learn from each other. But we have a mindset that we know it all. Amen. And in that humbleness and being a teachable person, are we willing to have an attitude of submission and servanthood? Now, I say this to all the men in the church, all the men and brothers, anyone I talk to, you know, your true heart is, are you ready to serve? And when we talk about serve, that means we're willing to sacrifice for someone else's to do good. Again, as I said it earlier, it's about being edifying the body and glorifying God. Are we living a humble life that edifies the body? How are we living? Are we supportive of our pastor, of our leaders that are over us? You know, some people get, I've experienced this myself, that, you know, after a while, you know, people, we have a lot of reasons we have problems in churches. People have been around so long, they think they got it all. Some people, because I've witnessed it myself, some people go to other churches, start other churches, but they leave the place they was not in good terms. And that's not how the body of Christ. That's not how Paul did it. That's not how Peter did it. That's not how Paul went around and ministered and planted churches. Because, again, if we look at Scripture, and I'm going to use the example of Scripture, you know, Paul planted his churches. All the letters he wrote to the Corinthians, the Ephesians, the Galatians, the Thessalonians, these were churches he planted, and he wrote to them to continue to encourage them. But he planted those churches, and he supported them. So that means those pastors and people and those elders he put in place between Timothy and Titus and all the other ones that are not really mentioned, there was a relationship there, and he was concerned about them. But in this day and age, and sometime in this culture, we see folk leave churches and start churches, and they don't have any real humble relationship with the ministry they were in, they grew up in. But that's a whole other show, so I'm just going to leave it right there. But in submission and servanthood, one who confessed sin and remembers how Christ saved him. And that's the humble thing. As men of God, we have to remember where God has brought us from. We can never forget it. Okay, how long we've been saved. Because we committed a sin last week, if we're truthful and honestly, that God has that redeemed us, God has kept us, even when we fell short and fell down, God has kept us. And do we keep that humble reminder and know that God is keeping us yesterday? Because some of the things I did yesterday, it could get me in trouble. But yet, by the grace of God, I'm still here to get better and do better and help someone else. And so am I submissive? Am I submissive to our pastors and our leaders? Let me go real quick to a scripture here. I just wanted to share, to encourage the brothers. Because even those who are in leadership when we talk about serving. I'm going to go to Luke chapter 22. Luke chapter 22, verse 27. For whether it is greater, he that serveth at meat or he that sitteth at meat or he that serveth. Is it not he that sitteth at meat, but I am among you as he that serveth. That's Christ's word. He came to serve. If Christ came to serve from perfection, from heaven, he was the perfect man. He came to serve you, all humanity, with all the gifts, all the miracles, and yet gave his life for us, for me and you. Is he not the greatest servant? So what more are we called to do, to be servant leaders? You know, I learned that a long time ago from my pastors and even the men of God that I'm around, when they talk about teaching of servant leaders. You know, it's that serving part that makes you a leader, because people trust you, your relationship with people, you can speak into their lives, and you're encouraging them. You're encouraging them in their growth and understanding of the word that they might also be living out. That comes back to, we are made to make disciples. We are made and created the church is to mentor and grow people. We want to see people grow, but are we setting an atmosphere where the spirit is a humble spirit, or do we lord over people? And then for my brothers out there, my husbands and fathers, how are you leading your home? What is the temperature? What are you doing? How does your wife see you? Does she see you as a servant leader, or does she see you as a dictator? How do your children see you? Fathering is one of those things we talk about a lot here at Issues Christian Men's Talk. It's a process of growth. It's a process of mentoring and discipling our kids, because our kids need us at 6, 16, 26, 36, and 46. So we're always fathers. And we always have to be in a place where we are connected with them in their growth development. There's no greater thing to see the things that you poured into your child poured into their children. So we're talking three generations. Your children's children's children, will they know you? Will they know God? And will they know, and will the things that you sowed into your children be passed on? That's why we look at the old scripture. We talk about the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, because he was a God to them all. And those brothers, they all had issues, but yet they are the model. Abraham is the father of the faith, and he was jacked, and he had two sons who God still used and today. So who's going to know you? Will your children's children know who you are? Will your children's children have the faith and understanding of Jesus Christ? will the bloodline. Some of us are Abrahams. Has the bloodline started with you? Are you called to carry on the bloodline? Some of you are Isaacs and some of you are Jacobs. You have two generations in the church. But some of you, you're the first generation Christian. So what are you doing to make sure it's passed along? Even though your children may be in a place of that I don't really like it. I use that. Backslidden, or they're prodigals, or they haven't even come to faith. But yet, what are you doing? That they will come to understand God in their own way and their own understanding and build their faith the way God wants to use them. But how are we handling it? Are we eager to minister to the stranger better than we are to minister to the ones in our circle of influence and in our homes? Again, I speak this as encouragement. I don't speak this as being someone who's got it all together and got it right. I speak as one who's learned a lot, grown a lot, and has set my life in a place where I have to, you know, you have to heal relationships and be open and humble yourself sometimes to be able to have an influence on folk, those around us. Amen? Amen. You're listening to Issues Christian Men's Talk. I'm Deacon Thomas Farr. We're here live every Monday night at 8, every Thursday night at 8 p.m., and every Saturday morning for 2018, every Saturday morning at 9 a.m. We encourage you to call in at 646-668-2636. Also, you can listen to us live on the web at www.blogtalkradio.com/Deacon Thomas Farr. And you can listen in. You're also on the Facebook page at Issues Christian Men's Talk. We post upcoming men's events, devotionals. We connect there. You can send me questions. You can share your insights. If you have an event coming up for your pastors and elders, you got something coming up for men's ministry, your church, let us know. We'll post it. We'll send it out. And because we here encourage men's ministry. We encourage a time of men, the men coming together with other men to encourage each other, to speak into men's lives, for a man to have a secure place where he can share, get the answer and insights he needs. If he's dealing with children, his wife, his job, or some brothers, again, you know, I pray every day that there's brothers out there who are on the edge of giving up. And I mean, when I say giving up, I mean suicide. I mean giving up on their families, walking out the door, divorce. The enemy is doing a lot of things to destroy men, take men out of their place, and take men out of the role in the family, and thereby letting the enemy, letting the culture take over and raise our families. Again, look around us. Men not being in the home, husbands not being in place, fathers not being in place, or even ungodly fathers not being in place is why we have a lot of the issues we have in the culture today. But yet, God is faithful. There's a remnant up there, and we're going to encourage them. And we always have a next generation coming up behind us of young men, no matter what they are now, 16, 15, 18, 12, or 11, they're on the fast track to be husbands and fathers. So what are we doing to sow into them? You know, I remember Tony Evans had a teaching one day in one of his books. He talked about, you know, we have single mothers raising their son to be men just like them. And that, when I heard that, it was kind of funny, and then it was kind of true. We have young men out here being men just like their mothers, because no one is stepping up and sowing into their lives. Amen? Amen. Well, come and continue on. One more we're going to talk about tonight, because, again, tonight we're talking about the character traits of a godly man. And so far we talked about forgiveness and forgiving, humility and being humble servants, and what that means and what it looks like. And then this last one we're going to talk about tonight is fairness. Fairness. Do we have a character trait of fairness? Because between forgiving and humble, are we fair? Do we see a situation from the viewpoint of everyone involved? Not just our side. I see it this way. It's the way it's going to be. Yeah, I see you, what you're doing. You shouldn't be doing that. You ain't living a life. You're not really holy. You're not really saved. But are the things that you're doing a sin? You know, I shared this recently with a brother. You know, the church calls a lot of things sin that the God doesn't call sin. But because we couldn't do it, or we had to abstain from it, or there was rules against us doing it, we think because anybody else is doing it is sin. And it's a lot of things. Some of it is cultural. You know, sometimes we get caught up in this Western culture because, you know, sometimes it's as simple as, you know, the clothes we wear. how our young men dress. I don't know if it's still a relevant thing, but there was a time, you know, we had full-grown men calling out young men on the way they dressed and the pants down nonsense. But yet, didn't take time to build a relationship with them, wouldn't know who they was going, what was going on with them, who they were, but they would easily criticize them and degrade them and berate them. That's not what Christ did, and that's what we shouldn't be doing to a generation of men. Because a lot of them are doing it because that's what they do as their peers, and they're doing what they do because of who they are. Because there's no one godly speaking into their life. They know no other way to dress. I'm sorry, I did a whole show and discussion about this with some brothers recently. But, you know, we can't criticize a man from where he is. That's not what we're called to do as Christian men. We're called to bring him into the faith and let God work him from the inside. Because even if I take that brother with his pants hanging down and put him in a suit and a tie and a shirt and matching shoes and a matching tie and handkerchief, if he still has a heart of sin, if he still has no morality, if he's still going to be a womanizer, a liar, a drug dealer, and a thief, I haven't done nothing but dress him up. And Christ talked about that as being whitewashed tombs. But again, I had that show and that Bible study already. But let me go back. We're talking about a character trait in Christian men of fairness. Seeing a situation, a viewpoint where each person is involved and not just seeing ours. Are we reasoning things together? Are we sitting down and talking it through? Again, I bring every man here, every husband and father back to what's the atmosphere in your home when it comes to disagreements from your children, from your wife, or is it just what you want to do, how you want to do it, and that's it? And I'll share this as a father of adult children. I had to learn this my own self to do better. That they have, as they grow, they're going to have different opinions. Because remember, all of us, when our children are between 1 and about 9, 8, 9, 10, we are Superman. We're Superman, Batman, we're everything to them as they start to grow and mature and start to understand who they are as individuals. Some of us, how do we handle that? Because they're going to see us differently. They're going to test us. They're going to try us. But how do we respond? Do we have to respond out of pride, or do we respond out of respect for their maturing process? I mean, I'll say you don't let them go free, but we keep reins on them. But yet, are we hearing what they're saying? Because we never know what our sons and daughters are going through every day and what they've been doing. They come back home, and they've dealt with a full day, just like you dealt with a full day of the crazy foolishness that goes on in your job. They do the same thing in school. They do the same thing on their football teams and basketball teams. Because trust me, football teams, sports athletes, some of them are just natural morons. And that's my good Christian word about it. But they have to deal with that and still live a life according to God and according to the way you taught them. But now the struggle is, do they have a place in an atmosphere where it's a fairness and you're trying to figure out how they need to deal with situations? Amen? Are we seeking the best, the just, and equitable solution? Even if we had to sacrifice, if it don't go our way, we'd be hurt by it. But do we reason again? Because, again, as servant leaders, as husbands and fathers, we're called that we have to make decisions to lead our families. We can't lead passively. But any brother out there, anybody who's been married a while, I'll just take an amen from you. You had to make a decision your wife didn't agree with. You're almost grown up. Because that's the hardest thing to do, to make a decision that your wife doesn't have to agree with, you think is better than for the family. And didn't have to be stand on that. And is your wife a woman who's gonna disagree? You're going to share, you're going to discuss it, and you have to make the final decision. You don't turn it over to her. You don't advocate your position and role, because, God, again, these are the things that God is going to hold you accountable for. Again, with fathers, you know, your kids don't have to be everything and do it. I don't know any fathers like this, but some fathers, just to stop the crying and whining, will submit unto their children. And I believe that's a disaster for failure. And again, I don't say to have it all together, but I do have a relationship with your children where I can speak into their lives. They're going to know what I think. I'm going to give them a direction and path because they still have to make that choice for themselves. And every child is going to, I don't care if they're 15, 25, 35, or 45, their choices, there's consequences. But have I heard them and given? And again, it's something I learned from my own mother. At a certain age, I don't give my opinion unless people ask me for it. But that takes maturity and fairness, that you have to respect them as adults and that you sowed enough into them, they're going to have to make a decision. Because for some of us, we made it. Because for some of us, we didn't come to Christ until we was in our 30s and 40s. So God kept us for 30 or 40 years. some of our children are going to be kept for 30 or 40 years until they come to the knowledge and understanding and submission of God. And where are we going to be when that happens? Amen. Again, these are just things for you to think about. I'm not going to pretend to be half here and have all the answers, but I will direct you to Scripture. When I talk about fairness real quick, I'm going to give a Scripture. I'm going to go to Matthew chapter number 7. Matthew chapter number 7. Matthew chapter number 7. Hold on, I got a paper Bible. I'm old school. I don't have an electronic. But Matthew chapter number 7, verse number 7:12, Matthew, book of Matthew. And it says, therefore, all things, whatever we would that man should do to you, do you even so to them. For this is the law of the prophets. And that's the golden rule. That's the rule. That's the duty we have, the brotherly love, the kindness, to do good. How will we treat somebody else? How will we want somebody else to treat us? How will we want people to speak to us? How will we want people to respect us, to listen to what we have to say? So we have to turn that thing around when someone is telling their side of it, our children and our wife. Are we willing to listen? Because we want someone to listen to us. We want someone to be fair with us, but someone that we can go to and share our insights, not someone who's going to always want to dictate to us and not give us respect and honor and give us at least the fairness to be heard. So, again, the golden rule is, how do we treat others, and do we have expectation to be treated that way? Because it's very selfish and prideful to think we want to treat it one way, but we won't give that same love and kindness to someone else. You know what I mean? So, I encourage you there, brothers, continue to press on, continue to speak, continue to pray, continue to seek God every day, because we never know the new challenges that are coming around the corner. We'll never know what God has in store for us, because the trials and tribulations we go through, the tests that we go through, all of it is not for us. Some of it is to build us up, to strengthen us, that we might be able to reach out and encourage someone else and give a true testimony. Remember, a testimony is a testimony of what God has brought you through and delivered you through. If you've not been delivered from a thing, it's not really a testimony, because you still can succumb until that trick of the enemy. So there's no testimony, because when you do that, you say, I'm delivered from this, and find out you're still doing it, because God knows you're still doing it. Or when it comes to light, that you have still failed as a man, but stand up and boasted about your great deliverance, you shame God. And God sees these things, because God already knows that your testimony is false. But then when it comes to light, you could be discouraging someone else. You could be hindering someone else's faith and belief in God because you said one thing, but you're still doing that thing, and then it comes to light. Again, these are the things that we struggle with as men. This has been Issues Christian Men's Talk, and I'm Deacon Thomas Farr. Again, I'm here every Monday night at 8 p.m., every Thursday at 8 p.m., and now for 2018, every Saturday morning at 9 a.m. So I encourage you to join us, encouraging you to come out and call in and be part of the program. You can always call 646-668-2636 or go to www.blogtalkradio.com/Deacon Thomas Farr, and you can listen to the program live or, again, our archive of programs. You can reach us on Facebook. You can inbox us on Facebook. Watch some of the devotionals, the posting of upcoming men's events, and inbox us there. Also on Twitter, we're at Issues Men's Talk on Twitter, so you can reach out and join us there. So I thank you for joining me tonight. Thank you for all the brothers who have called in here on the line. I appreciate you. I love you. And continue to work out and be who God has called you to be. And know that we have more in common than we are different. So pray for your brother tonight. Pray for 3 men in your church. Pray for 2 unbelievers that you know in your life. And just continue to seek God so he might use you to be the man that God has called you to be. God bless you. And good night.